If you listen to the evidence carefully enough, it will speak to you and it will tell you exactly what happened. If you don't know what happened, keep listening until you do. The evidence always tells the truth. The key is not to let yourself be distracted away from what the evidence is telling you. And that quote comes from Dr. Judy Wood. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, when I look at the world today, what the evidence is telling me is that things are pretty messed up, and that the public trustees that we have appointed to safeguard our future are very much in breach of the trust that has been granted to them by their electors. And it's about time it changed, folks, and that's one of the reasons why I'm making this pilgrimage that I'm currently on across Australia to get to a place called James Price Point in order to make a stand against the biggest coal seam gas hub that has ever been built in the world. This gas hub is being built here in Australia, and they're about to frack most of Australia and send the proceeds off to China and other countries. Our government has also sold most of Australia's food bowl to China, who intends to mine it and probably frack it as well. And there have also been reports coming in that speculate that by 2014 or 2020, Australia will be importing 90% of its food. And this is a very serious situation, folks, and so desperate situations call for desperate measures, and this is why I am making this pilgrimage across Australia to stand up against this gas hub. Because now that our governments are destroying the water table, we're really being left with no other choice, folks. We have to do something about it, or we're going to face extinction. And it has to be done non-violently as well. We cannot erupt into revolution or violence. We simply have to realise that the perpetrators of all of the crimes that we're currently facing are in fact public trustees. They're simply the elected officials, the people that we appoint to safeguard our future. And they are very, very much in breach of that trust, as I stated at the opening of the show. And it has been an interesting journey across Australia, folks. I've actually arrived at my destination now. I am in a town called Broome on the northwest of Australia, the northwest coast of Australia. It's a wonderful little town. It's very, very hot. It's much hotter than where I lived in Byron Bay. And it's been a quite extraordinary journey across the centre of the country for the last week. And I've certainly seen some interesting things along the way. It was most sad to see that most of the centre of Australia is actually either burning or has just been recently burnt. There has been fires all the way from Uluru to Broome. We've seen countless fires. There were several road closures along the way. And there were several places that we actually wanted to visit along the way, such as the Bungle Bungle, but we weren't able to get to because of the fire. I'm currently sitting in a car park under a tree at a place called Cable Beach in Broome, enjoying a little bit of reprieve from the drive. And so you may hear a little bit of motor noise around the place as well, folks. And anything strange that you hear during the radio show, it's just because I'm simply out on the road, and that's going to be the nature of the show for this week and possibly for next week as well. Well, folks, my journey so far has led me to Alice Springs and then to the Uluru Katajuta area. I spent the first 4 days in the company of David Icke and some other people, and I must say that it was an absolute pleasure to finally meet David and to spend some time with him. And for anybody out there who has doubts about the man, I found him to be a perfect gentleman and very genuine during the whole trip. And that was also very reassuring. The ceremony that I was involved in at Uluru on the 27th was quite a remarkable experience for me, I will have to say that, but I don't really know how to put it into words at this stage. I'm still kind of processing the data myself, so I'll attempt to tell you a little bit about that at some later date, but I'm just not really able to do so at the moment. We moved on from the Uluru Katajuta area and we went up through the central regions of Australia, past areas such as Devil's Marbles. We went to a town called Catherine, and then we made our way southwest from Catherine and arrived at the town of Broome. And the gathering and the protest, the 10,000 amend event that I'm joining, is at a place called James Price Point, which is about 53 kilometres north of Broome. We'll be going there this afternoon or possibly tomorrow, and that is when the mission will begin in earnest. And it's been very interesting to see the coinciding of events that seem to be happening all around the world at the same time. We've seen the Occupy Wall Street movement, or should we just call it the Occupy movement, which seems to be occupying all sorts of cities all around the world. I've even seen a call to occupy Byron Bay on the 15th of October, so it seems to be a global thing. I'm still processing whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, if it's done well, it could be a very good thing. And I really do believe that people around the world have simply had enough, and that's why we're seeing it happen. And it's understandable that something like this would happen, because people have had enough, folks, and it's not surprising that people have had enough, because the world has been run by the criminal cabal that is now in charge of things for far too long. And it gets to a certain point where people just want to be able to do something about the system and want to be able to do something to claim their freedom back, and so they join movements like the Occupy movement. And the thing is that even if these movements, and even if things and groups such as Anonymous have been started up by people who may not have the most honourable of intentions, it is still good to see such massive amounts of people being mobilised. And I really do believe that even if these groups were started by people with bad intentions, then once this amount of humanity is mobilised, then it will be very difficult to stop the momentum that such a movement might gain very quickly. There is also the possibility that what we're seeing is a Venus flytrap that will trap all of the people who really do care, and they can easily be arrested and taken off the streets and taken out of commission, and the world can be left to be run by the drones that don't seem to want to complain about anything, and I'm sure they'll do a very fine job at doing so. So there are two sides to every coin, folks. I've reserved judgment on all of it. I do think it is good to see a mass movement such as we're seeing with the Occupy movement. I think it does go a long way to showing how much people are concerned about the global situation. But again, it really is going to depend upon the police and the actions of the police and the actions of law enforcement agencies all around the world, whether these people are going to allow the continuation of the destruction of the planet in order to support the rules that are handed down to them by their corporate masters, or whether they are going to wake up and realise that the people that are sitting and complaining about things and are occupying all these places the way they are, these people actually do care. And hopefully the law enforcement agencies will see this, and they will see the validity of the statement these people are attempting to make, and they will join the side of right, and they will work to create a better future for their children. Because essentially the people who are defending our corporate masters are simply enslaving their own children to a hell on earth, and that's not going to be a very pleasant thing for anybody. And that's really one of the biggest threats we face, folks, is from our law enforcement agencies themselves. These people are so incredibly brainwashed that it's somewhat difficult for them to ever really wake up to reality. Most police officers and law enforcement officials have spent their life being heavily indoctrinated into the system, and they really believe that what they're doing is right. Actually, it was interesting to see some of the footage from the Occupy New York fiasco the other night. I saw the chief of police, a man in a white shirt, literally hoeing into peaceful protesters with his baton, holding his baton with two hands, and simply bashing people for no reason whatsoever other than to satisfy his own terrorist tendencies, I would think. It's a real shame to see police officers such as this, and especially someone like the Chief of Police, behaving like a terrorist in public and assaulting the people who he is actually employed to protect. Very disturbing footage indeed. Now, as I said, folks, you may get a lot of background noise in some of the shows that I'm doing at the moment because I'm simply recording them on the fly while I'm on the road. I'm sitting in a car park at the moment in a parked vehicle, as I mentioned to you before, and there are a large number of people wandering around the place. And look, folks, I'd also like to take a moment to say hello to all of the people who joined the tour through Uluru with myself and Adam Davis and David Icke. There were actually 27 people in total who made the journey, and there were some really, really wonderful people in the group, and I'd like to send a big hi out to all of them. It was great to connect with all of you, and I hope we can stay in contact. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, this afternoon we're going to be heading out to the camp, the base camp, that has been put there by the local Aborigine people in order to make a stand against the gas hub that has been built at James Price Point. We're going to be heading out there tomorrow and camping out there for at least 4 or 5 days just to get the feel of things and see how everything goes. We are expecting that there may be some confrontation, but we are going to attempt to keep things as peaceful as possible, and we are attempting to manoeuvre ourselves into a position where some of the powers that be, hopefully someone from the political arena, will come to the site in order to negotiate with the protesters that are there. And this is a peaceful protest, folks. It's simply a matter of lawful rebellion and a claim of sovereignty over the land, because the original people still own the land in Australia. And if the task is put to the test, then there will be no paper or document that can be tabled which would indicate otherwise, and which would indicate that the Crown has any right to be conducting coal seam gas mining on this land or building this gas hub where they're building it. And this gas hub, as I've mentioned to you before, is being placed at exactly the mouth of the Rainbow Serpent. And there is also an offshore rig that is being built in the bay just off the coast from exactly the same point. And this is known to be a whale nursery. This is where the whales bring their newborn calves and train them and teach them the ways of the wild in order to get them strong enough to make the ocean voyage and to migrate with the rest of the pod. And so it is a very, very significant and very important area. And I would suggest that it's no accident that this is where the government is attempting to build this gas hub. And folks, as I've said so often to you in the past, what we are seeing with the building of this hub and what we are seeing from these governments in virtually all their aspects is a breach of trust, because we actually employ these governments to look after us, and they're not doing so. They're acting in breach of trust. I mean, even considering building a gas hub in a place that is so sacred to the original people of this land, and even considering conducting practices such as coal seam gas mining and hydraulic fracturing of the ground, even though it's been proven to damage groundwater, is something that can only be classed as one of the most irresponsible acts I've ever seen carried out by any government. There is nothing more valuable on this planet than water, and I know I keep mentioning this, folks, and I keep coming back to it on many shows recently, but I simply cannot overstress this, that water is the most valuable resource on this planet, and especially here in Australia. We have very, very little water in this country, folks, and all of the water that we do have comes from the Great Artesian Basin. Well, a good portion of it comes from the Great Artesian Basin. I mean, over 90% of Australia's water comes from that source. And if this groundwater becomes damaged or polluted in any way, it will have the effect of exterminating life in this country. And this is no exaggeration. And so any practice that has been carried out by a government that has even the remotest possibility of damaging this groundwater is something that needs to be seriously investigated and seriously looked at by the people. It's the most serious matter we've ever faced. It truly is. And that's why this stand is being made. And that's why I'm working so hard in an attempt to bring this to public attention, because we have never faced a more serious issue. And not only in this country, but in the whole world, we've never faced a more serious issue. Because nothing can survive without water, folks. Nothing at all can survive. No trees, no flora, no fauna, no animals, no human life. And of course, if you are someone who is strip mining this planet, all you need to do is to keep your workers hydrated by feeding them recycled water, and you can pollute the water table, it doesn't matter. And that appears to be what's happening, folks. And the ones who are doing it, our governments and the people that are really supporting this, are doing so because of the economic benefits that it holds. And this is a bizarre, bizarre way of thinking. It's really a bizarre logic for people to have, because what we are seeing is that people that are putting economic value over human value, and yet the economy is supposed to be there to support the society that the human race has constructed for their own benefit. But what the society is doing is it is throwing away the human race in order to create a more efficient model of society. And this is why I keep coming back to the question of who's actually in charge here. Who's doing this? How does any section of the human race benefit from what's been done? Because I just cannot see that it does. And I think that's something that really does need to be taken into consideration. Now, with the group that I'm travelling with, there are actually four of us that have come along. There's a quite eccentric English artist travelling with us who's working to paint vehicles and paint banners and do all sorts of things. His name is Simon, and you've probably seen him on the YouTube clip that I posted last week, which was called Quest for the New Dreaming Part 1. Simon has decided he is very supportive of the work that's being done by Anonymous, and so he's decided to change his name to Simonymous, which is interesting in itself. I'm also travelling with a friend of mine from Wilson's Creek who decided that he would like to come along on the journey just to make sure that we all eat well. And with a French cameraman who's actually been doing some very good video edits, and we posted part one of the journey on YouTube already. Part two will be up there within the next day, if it isn't there today. And part three and possibly a part four will be soon to follow. So keep an eye out on that one, folks. It's just a journey across Australia. A little bit of talk about the ceremony that was conducted at Uluru, the drive through from Uluru to Broome, and then a section on the 10,000 Amend event and the protest that is happening at James Price Point. And I'll try to keep you updated on as much info as I can in regard to the event, folks. And I'll try to get shows out to you every week. It is difficult, though, because I am on the road, I am travelling, and I don't always have access to internet. And so sometimes it's just difficult to do. I'm also using a little handheld Zoom recorder at the moment as well. So we'll just have to see what the quality's like. And if you have to put up with anything like peas popping or road noise or wind noise, well, I'm sure you'll just have to bear with it, because it's going to have to remain this way until I get home in a couple of weeks. And it's all action in Byron. As soon as I get home, there is an Occupy Byron call that's happening on October 15th. And there's also a big anti-fracking rally that is happening on October 16th. So it's all systems go from wherever I seem to look, folks. And getting back to the Occupy movement and the Anonymous movement, I still don't know what to believe as far as how these events have been organised and who may be organising them and what the outcome may be. I think it's great to see people standing in solidarity. I think that's a wonderful thing. But I do very much hope that people have spent the time to build community in their community prior to staging these events, because it's all very well to want to bring the system down, but if the system does come down and people are not prepared by having something to fall back on and something better already there in its place, and essentially having the other members of the community in which they live ready to stand by them and supportive of their actions, then bringing this system down the way it's being done may not well be a good thing at all, and may be very instrumental in bringing about a global government and a global police state and pretty well everything that everybody has been fearing. I mean, like I said, it's great to see people standing in solidarity, but what is the alternative that they're offering? I mean, sure, we could maybe just approach the system the way it is and get the bankers to be removed from their position, hold them accountable for their actions, perhaps redistribute the wealth that they've stolen from the people, take the interest off money and move forward from the point that we're on with something similar to the system that we already have. But I haven't seen anything from any of these groups which suggest that they have any type of working model that they intend to put in place. I mean, even Mike Montagna's mathematically perfected economy would probably work, but there needs to be steps in place to implement such a thing before this type of action is taken. As I've said, solidarity is good, but what is the game plan? Because if the game plan is simply to bring down Wall Street and bring down the financial system, and no alternative plan is in place, then there's going to be an awful lot of suffering that comes hand in hand with the collapse. And that's something that we need to avoid. So it is something that concerns me about the whole thing, folks. As much as I do wish to support solidarity, and I do feel that many of the people who are participating in the Occupy movement are simply people who've had enough and feel that they have to do something, as you would, and as many people do. I believe that that's who most of these people are, but I just don't think it's been thought out quite well enough, to be honest. But we'll just see how it goes, folks. I mean, I absolutely do support the stance that people are making. I just hope that some type of alternative system has already been thought about and hopefully will be offered to the world within the next couple of days. That's the thing, folks. It's all very well to know the problem, and it's all very well to react against the problem. But in order to address the problem effectively, you have to address it with the appropriate solution. And because we have such a multifaceted and essentially disconnected humanity on this planet, you need to have a very decisive game plan ready to go and something that you can offer the people in order to allay their fears. You need to be able to wake people up, but you also need to give them the solution to the problem that you are alerting them to. Otherwise, you end up with chaos, and that doesn't get anybody anywhere. So yes, folks, very interesting times indeed, and it's very interesting to see what is going on with the Occupy movement. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out, folks. Time will tell. But I think we're at about break time here, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me for a very different type of Surviving the Matrix today. As always, it's a pleasure to speak to you, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, folks. So yes, it's going to be an interesting next few days, my friends. I'm heading out to the gas hub this afternoon, and we're going to check the lie of the terrain, and then we'll be going out there in earnest tomorrow to begin making the stand. We're actually planning a huge corroboree out there on October the 12th as well. I'm expecting to be flying home around about October the 14th, but I may yet be back this way, probably in the not-too-distant future, because I certainly don't want to leave any type of job half-done. I really do want to follow this whole thing through, and I do think it's important to do so.
Now, earlier I was commenting on the situation in Wall Street, the Occupy movement, and what's going on around the world, and how what we seem to be seeing is a global uprising. The 99% are finally getting off their knees, and they're complaining about the actions that have been undertaken by the 1% who have created most of the destruction that we see on the planet today. And look, I do think this is a good thing, folks, and I was saying earlier that it's still debatable as to where this may lead, but for those of you who are listening to the program today, it's important for you to understand that you can be instrumental in where this may lead, because by supporting the people that are making the stand in Wall Street and people that are occupying cities all over the world, by supporting them by perhaps delivering food to them or delivering water or some other sort of sustenance to them, and even just lending your moral support to these people, you can ensure that the type of reality we need to create is being created just by your actions.
You see, it's all about leading by example, folks, and if you wish to be the change that you want to see in the world, then you should go and support these people, because that way you develop bonds with these people. That way humanity can start bonding with each other, even if you're not one who goes down there and willingly participates and camps out and holds the fort to make sure that change does come. Just by being a support to these people, you've automatically broken down any barriers that may exist between you. And let's face it, folks, it's a battle that's being waged against a common enemy. And the best way to battle this enemy is to simply stop complying with the system. And as was said by Mario Savio, there comes a time when you have to put your hands and your arms upon the gears, upon the levers, and upon all the apparatus, and you have to make it stop. And that appears to be what's happening in Wall Street. People are simply choking Wall Street, and they're choking many capital cities simply by their presence, and in doing so, they are preventing the machine from operating, and that's what needs to happen. Peaceful non-compliance, folks, and if the police continue to act like terrorists, well, everybody should film these people and post it all on YouTube, and I'm sure that they will get their just desserts. There was one police officer who sprayed a woman across the face with mace, I saw on one clip, and apparently his name and badge number was captured on film, and his name and badge number and all of his personal details were posted on the internet, and suddenly everybody started ordering pizzas for him, and he had literally thousands of pizzas show up at his home. And things like that are very good. These are things that do nobody any harm, but they certainly do create a lot of attention, and they certainly do let these offending officers know that we know who they are. And that's a very good thing. So there are many ways that you can support this movement, and that's what I'd like to see happening. Because if it does reach a huge groundswell, if it does reach a large amount of people, and we see a large portion of humanity mobilized in this effort, then there will simply be no turning back, and I'm sure that positive change will come from such a mobilization of mankind. And that could be a very good thing, folks. You should never underestimate the power of community, especially when community chooses to band together and to stand for a common cause. And that's what I'm seeing with these Occupy movements. You see, the thing is that we're now facing very dire circumstances all around the planet. We've got what happened in the Gulf of Mexico with the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, which I believe is still releasing oil. We've got the crisis in Fukushima, which is far, far worse than the damage that was caused to the world by the Chernobyl incident. We've got the fracking that is being carried out in a great many countries, which is destroying the water table. And of course, we've got the endless succession of wars and financially induced starvation and homelessness that is happening all around the planet. And so it is no wonder that we've got to a point where the dam of human emotion and human suppression is now bursting, and people have simply had enough, and many people can see that the human race will not survive if things are allowed to continue along their present path. And I really do hope that police officers and military out there who may get a chance to listen to this show. I really hope you people wake up to yourselves and start doing what is right and start standing with the people of the planet, because if you don't, all you're doing is condemning yourself and your children to a hell on earth and virtually a slow death on a world that will no longer support life of any kind. And look, it really is this important, folks. I really cannot overstress this issue. And if you're someone who is going to be watching the YouTube version of this radio show, what I'm going to be doing for this particular show is the footage I'm going to be including in the clip is going to be simply home video footage that I've taken of the journey so far. Just stuff that I've shot out the car window and a few scenes of Australia that you may not have seen before. You'll see some of the fire and devastation that's happened around the country, and you'll see how dry this place actually is and why it is so important to make this stand against coal seam gas mining. Folks, everything that's happening in the world today, it's gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, and it's got to the point that if the human race does not stand up for itself, we really will not survive. And that's why things such as the Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement is a good thing. People making a stand against coal seam gas mining is a good thing. People making a stand against this system in any way, shape or form is a good thing, because this system is utterly corrupt, folks. And it's just getting worse by the minute. And it's been allowed to get this way, and it's been allowed to reach the extremes that it's reached because of people's failure to stand up. And so that's what's so important about people doing it now, because it's got to the stage where we simply have to. Because if we don't, as I said, we simply will not survive. And folks, as usual, and as with virtually every problem that we face as a species, the thing that prevents humanity from standing up for itself is fear. What has created the situation that we're in is fear. Fear of terrorism, fear of all of the things that the government gives us to fear. And so it's our fear of that which the government thrusts upon us which has caused us to allow the government to make all of these rules that now enslave us. And these rules stay in place because of our fear of standing up to our servants and holding them accountable for their actions and putting them back in their rightful place in the social order, which is that of the servants of the people, public trustees that we employ to ensure that our future is secure. And this is a trust that they are very much in breach of, as I keep saying to you. And even with the 10,000 amend event that I am participating in, a lot of people are looking for legal avenues and legal ways of maintaining their stand against the system. And it's been very difficult to get people to understand that there is no real way of standing up against police officers unless it's done in mass, unless you have a large percentage of the population standing up to hold the governments in breach of the trust that we have given them. Because that's ultimately what it all comes down to, folks. It's a breach of trust. There is no legal method or legal avenue that can be explored in order to address this situation. It has to be taken back into trust law and addressed from a perspective of trust. And this is only going to happen once we have sufficient numbers to make it happen. In any of these situations, and even in the Wall Street situation, what is needed is for the people to create an impasse so that it gets to the stage where a politician has to come to the table to negotiate with the people. Because when that happens, that's when we can actually address the situation from a matter of trust. It's useless trying to talk trust law to a police officer. They don't know and they don't care. They have tasers and they enjoy using them. And that's unfortunately the bottom line. Because the truth of the matter is that our police have been very well trained in terrorist tactics to use against the citizens. And modern police simply don't work to serve and protect the citizens. They work to serve and protect a corrupt corporate system that pays their wages, and that seems to be most of the purpose of police officers, defending the system rather than defending the people. It's an extremely disturbing position to find ourselves in, but unfortunately it is a fact that is all too true. Now, folks, something that I've been attempting to bring to people ever since I began this program was methods that can be used to eliminate the fear from your psyche, because it's this fear that is used to perpetuate the system. And an approach that I've always used and always found to be very effective myself is having the correct understanding of the universe, understanding that it is an energetic universe and that fear is simply another form of energy. I've found that since I've been able to truly comprehend this and apply it to my interaction with reality around me, I've been able to change my life to quite a massive degree. I've found that I've been able to find my Dharma, my true path of existence, and I've found that reality has always unfolded for me just the way it should. I've always found myself to be in the right place at the right time, and I've never looked back since I started living my life this way, folks. I often wonder how I used to live my life before I applied these understandings to it. And looking back, I realize that I had many of the problems and many of the shortcomings and many of the emotional ups and downs and the general social roller coaster ride that most people find themselves on. I had that as my life as well. But I changed all of that by simply adopting a clear understanding of reality, by realizing that emotions are literally a language and that we interact with the energy field around us all the time. And I've brought this up again, folks, because I believe that if you can adopt this understanding and you can apply it to reality around you, it becomes very easy to stand up to the system. It becomes very easy to stand up to things such as coal seam gas. It becomes very easy to feel empowered and to know who and what you are. And I think that gaining this type of understanding is a very important and very essential, but unfortunately a very overlooked part of life itself. I would even go so far as to say that I believe it is one of the main purposes of our lives, is to understand the power of our emotions and to understand the experience and to learn how to live the experience to its fullest potential. I believe that this is one of the main purposes that was taught to people in many ancient civilizations, such as Egypt. I believe that the temples and the buildings in Egypt were designed to give people this knowledge and help them with this understanding. And I think that it is a loss of this understanding that has caused the world that we currently find ourselves in to be created. But enough is enough, folks. And I think that the opportunity to change it all is what we are currently being presented with. You know, just last year, or perhaps it was at the beginning of this year, I remember stating on a show that I believe that 2011 was going to be the year that brought about a massive shift in human consciousness and a massive change in our social structure. And I believe that that's what we are seeing unfold before us with the Occupy movement, with the 10,000 Amen movement that coincidentally is happening on October the 10th here in Australia, which also is the same day that Anonymous has decreed that they will shut down the New York Stock Exchange. It just seems that everything is converging to a single point, and none of it has been planned. All the pieces are simply falling into place just the way they should. And as I said earlier, even if there are nefarious forces behind some of these revolutionary movements, I believe that if a large enough section of humanity is mobilized, then there will be no stopping the momentum of it all, and through it all, humankind may indeed emerge free. But it's a do-or-die attempt, folks, it really is. Because if we don't attempt some type of change, no matter how shaky and frail our methods may be, then we are surely dooming the human race and all of our descendants to extinction. We're at the stage now, folks, where we simply don't have a choice. Something has to be done. And look, I'd like to bring Kerri-Anne Cox onto the show to say a few words just for the close of things today, folks. And I apologize if the show has been a little all over the place. I've been forced to record it in several segments because I have an awful lot going on here, so I have to snatch 5 or 10 minutes when I can and just record what bits that I can and hope that I've been able to maintain some type of continuity through the show. But Carrie-Anne Cox is here, and I would like to bring her to the mic for a few minutes to just share her perspective of things with you and to give you a little bit of information on what she sees the future bringing. And folks, the future that we're facing really is anybody's guess at the moment. I suppose that's what's so interesting and what's so wonderful about the days that we currently live in, is that we really don't know what's going to happen next. I've never actually seen the world in the state that it's in. I've never seen it in such a state of disrepair. And I've never seen so many people in so many countries standing up for so many issues at the same time. And ultimately, one of the most reassuring things about it is that all the issues that these people are standing up for, each one of these different groups has traced it to a common cause, and that is the current political, social, and financial system that is in place, which has created the situation that we're now facing. This is something that I've been speaking out about and saying since day one on my radio shows, is that all the problems that we face actually have a common cause. That cause is the system itself, and that system is perpetuated simply because of people's failure to face the fear within themselves, because it is that fear that prevents them from stepping up against the system. And it would seem that many people are now overcoming this fear. And that's truly a beautiful thing to see. So I'd like to now move over to Carrie-Anne Cox, and we'll see what Carrie-Anne has to say about things. And wouldn't you know it, Carrie-Anne has just left the building because she has to go and watch a school play that her daughter is in. Wouldn't you know it, folks, the joys of on-the-road recording and finding little snippets of time whenever you can. But that's okay, I will attempt to get her onto the show to talk to you next week. She is actually a very interesting woman with some very interesting things to say, and I'm sure you'd be fascinated to hear her perspective of things. Well, folks, looking at the global situation that I've outlined on the show for you today and that we all see unfolding before us, all I can say is hold on to your hats, folks, and enjoy the ride while it lasts, because we are most certainly about to see some pretty major changes happen on this planet. Whether they be for better or for worse, I have no doubt at all in my mind that some very big changes are coming. I would also like to offer my most sincere condolences to those people who felt it necessary to travel inland for the arrival of Comet Elenin about a week ago. And as far as I can see, the event unfolded the way I expected it would, which was completely painless and a complete non-event. And I believe I mentioned that on a few shows. I believe I talked about it on Chris Geo's show on Truth Frequency Radio. And I often said to people that preparing for a celestial event is really not something that I would care to do. I don't think that there's any way I can avoid a celestial event, and I believe that in such an occasion, if I'm supposed to survive, then I will be at the right place at the right time. The most significant thing I can actually find about the entire Comet Elenin event is that I happen to be doing a ceremony to activate the heart of the Earth on that particular day. And it was a very moving ceremony, folks. It was a very private ceremony, but it was a very moving ceremony. And I will attempt to bring you some information about that when I've fully processed it myself, because it was a very spiritual and very emotional experience for me. I really wasn't sure what would happen at all, and I wasn't prepared for anything. I had nothing in my mind. I had no preconceived ideas of what would happen or what I should do or what it would be like. And all I can really say is that it was a very moving event for me. Well, folks, we're getting pretty close to the end of the show. Please do remember your power, folks. Remember how powerful and how wonderful you are. Do work to maintain a positive energy in your life. And please do acknowledge and support those who are making a stand for you in the Occupy movements and in all the citizens and people's movements that are erupting around the planet, because everybody that is out there standing are doing so for you. Don't be in fear and don't simply say, oh, I'm a light worker and other people are doing the revolution stuff, and once they're done, I will bring love to the world, because all you're doing is remaining in fear and being part of the problem. And it's imperative that we break down these barriers and that we work to support each other, folks.
Every interaction that you have with reality, in every single way, every moment of every day, affects reality around you. Every thought, every intention, everything that you are, everything that you feel, everything that is you, everything you experience, affects reality around you. When you are interacting with another person, ask yourself if you are improving reality by this interaction. Ask yourself if you're improving not only your own reality, but also their reality, because you are literally each other. And if when you interact with reality, you are not improving reality by that interaction, then you become part of the problem. You become part of the negative energy that is being generated that keeps this planet enslaved to the reality that we now find ourselves in. When you really begin to understand how this works, it brings a great responsibility to your life. And you begin to see the importance of how you conduct your interactions with other people, because you begin to understand how you are affecting the energy field around you and how you are literally shaping and molding reality through this interaction. This is something that I've been attempting to bring to people ever since day one on the program as well. And if with all of the protests and the Occupy movements that we see around the planet, people can still maintain this understanding of reality and still conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy, then I believe we are on the verge of something really wonderful happening to human consciousness. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant of our own emotional and energetic state through all that we do, and through all of these interactions, through all of these protests, through all of these shows of solidarity. The most important thing through all of it is that we remain in La Keshe and treat each other as ourselves. And I believe that this is truly the most important thing of all. And that's about it for the show today, folks. We have reached the end of airtime. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again today. I'm sorry about the segmentation of the show. As I've said, it has been recorded in small bits and pieces when I've been able to grab a few minutes. And I'm sorry that I missed out on one last week, but it has been nice bringing this to you again. I'm not sure where I will be next week. I'm not sure whether I'll still be on the road or whether I'll be home by then and actually be able to do a proper show for you. But either way, I will endeavour to get one to you on time next week as well. Thank you very much for joining me today. It has been a pleasure talking to you, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next time. In La Keshe.